You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. Matt, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
Haven't been on the air with you in 24 hours.
The Drive, it's been a while, though.
The Drive, it has been a while. We haven't been on The Drive since last Wednesday. We now have a Steelers draft in the books.
How about that?
We had DeVan Halen coming in there. I can't remember which day it was now because they've all run together for me, but I watched a thing on the early Van Halen, the early years.
Oh, okay.
Where they went through all the... Talked to a bunch of guys that knew them back when they were in high school and stuff like
that. Oh, wow.
Talked about how they used to go in the Anaheim area and play all these parties. Before
they took the world by storm.
Before
though, right?
This is like 1973, 74, before they had hit it big. And they were the favorite band for everybody to have at their street party.
I bet.
And it would usually, they'd get like two or three songs in, and then the police would show up because they were so loud. But
yeah, big crowds, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Go see Van Halen at 74 on the street corner or whatever.
But anyways, the Steelers and everybody else, really, getting their draft completed this year. You know, I think you look at what they did in the draft. They obviously had a plan.
Very much so.
And the plan was to fix the running game.
Yeah, the offense, especially the running game. I think they really had a plan of what pockets in the draft they were going to attack, which positions, you know, the overall depth at each position. There were certainly some themes of the draft class, too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Of course, in the first round, the Steelers take Najee Harris, the running back out of Alabama. That's not a huge surprise there. I think we ended up both mocking him to the Steelers.
Many times.
Round two, they take Pat Freiermuth, the tight end out of Penn State. I did have a mock where I had hit them taking him in the second round, but a lot of the mocks that I did, he wasn't available in the second round.
In the second round, yeah, I could see that.
So I
didn't see that one coming. I mean, even at the time, I said, well, this run the card up for Creed Humphrey, and
yeah,
you know, I want to talk about it more, but you know, we're just kind of go over an overview here. But
whole segment here. We can talk about that.
Okay.
So
here's the more I've thought about these two picks, I think they're very similar for a lot of reasons. So I'm going to go on a little rant here in that anyone listened to us before thought that, or we thought, that there were three running backs that can fix the problem. Not that Trey Sermon or whoever can't have great careers, but three of them you're real happy with.
After the top three backs went, another running back wasn't taken until after the Steelers pick
right
in round three, and it was Sermon. The next pick after Kendrick Green was taken.
And after the Steelers picked Harris, the next pick was a back.
Yeah.
And then quickly after, Denver trades up in the second pick of the second round. Like, these guys were coveted around the league. Everyone agrees with what we're saying on that. I mean, the league proved it to us. But I think tight end's really similar.
It was similar, yeah.
Pitts is its own beast.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a top five pick. He's a unicorn. But
the highest tight end ever drafted in NFL history.
Right.
You know, I don't even know if you count him in the conversation.
No, I'm not, especially from a Steeler perspective. Like, it doesn't matter.
So realistically, you got the guy who is...
You also got your choice at the position.
Yeah, you kind of got 1B at the tight end position.
But it's similar to Harris. I mean, he was your favorite guy
that
isn't automatic.
And you knew you weren't going to get a chance at Pitts. That was my point with it. You got the number one running back in the draft. They're never in a position to do that.
No.
And you got arguably the top tight end, not named Kyle Pitts in the draft. And Kyle Pitts is a unicorn.
Right.
Yeah.
And to that point, I mean, and we talked about this a lot pre-draft, like the running backs, How many tight ends in this class, Pitts aside, would you have been really happy that, boy, I think we may have fixed this problem? To me, it's Tremble, Long, and Freiermuth, and I'd much rather Freiermuth than the other two.
And I think the other two were more third-round picks. If they had taken one of those guys at 55, I think that's too early.
Right. Oh, I agree. Yeah. I don't think you could consider them that early.
Yeah.
So if you look at their last couple of drafts, they've thrown some mid- to late-round picks at running backs and tight ends. And enough's enough. Like, that ain't getting it done. You know?
Right. I mean, you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle with one of those guys. It hasn't happened.
Right.
So you take the outliers. Again, you get the best players at their position.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to taking the sixth offensive tackle or the, in this case, it would have been the second-rated center.
Right.
Or it could have been, Creed Humphrey could have been one. But the difference was, to me...
See, I think Green's still on the same tier.
That's what I was going to say. We talked about this. There are five or six centers going into this draft that you look at and go, that guy could step in and play, if not right away, early in this season.
Right. And I'm not going to talk about both sides of my mouth because I hadn't thought about it in this light as much, and I'm sure the Steelers did. When the second round came around, I said, Creed Humphrey's an easy pick, plug-and-play starter. And I would rather have Humphrey than Green. But not by much.
Not by a lot.
They're all on the same tier. And Wisconsin Whitewater dude would have been on that tier. And I'm sure they looked at it and said, this is our one shot at a tight end. He's a starter, too.
Yeah. And just to show you that there was no real consensus on that, Myers from Ohio State went before Creed Humphrey.
Yeah, right. Did he?
Yeah, he went like one or two picks before Creed Humphrey.
Okay.
So
there was five of them or so in that neighborhood.
I mean, just because everybody says, all the rankings say this. Yeah, but...
You also don't have all the information.
Yeah.
We don't either, So I thought they got two starters that, by the way, are extremely quarterback-friendly. And I'm talking about old Ben, but I'm really talking about whoever the new dude is. Big catching radiuses, easy throws to those two players. I remember the year Cincinnati took Tyler Eifert in the first and Gio Bernard in the second. And I'm almost positive that was the year after they took Andy Dalton.
That was 2013,
And I remember writing articles, these are Andy Dalton-friendly picks. You got to remember who your quarterback is, and in this case, who it's going to be. Tight ends and receiving backs that also are big for their size are really quarterback-friendly.
Yeah. So then they follow up in the third round. They take Kendrick Green, who is a favorite of this show.
Big time. And not that much different than Humphrey.
I think, in fact, there are some things that he does better. I think if you're looking for Humphrey's more of a technician. If you're looking for somebody who's going to be a road grader, I think Kendrick Green is more that.
I think he's more explosive off the ball.
Yeah.
And probably maybe have a higher ceiling, too.
Yeah, might even be more athletic overall.
Maybe. Humphrey changes direction
well.
And he does. Is a pretty good athlete.
But he's left-handed.
Yeah. Green runs better.
Yeah, Green's a straight line.
Better.
Again, it goes back to the old Merrill Hodge conversation with the Bears. And he goes to the Bears and they're asking him how the Steelers ran a certain play. And he says, we have the center, gets out here and makes this block. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what?
Yeah, right. Now, Green can do those things.
Green can do those kind of things, yeah.
A little bit more of a work in progress than Humphrey as a protection guy. But I think he'll get it. He's a really hard worker, super energetic.
And center's not really a spot where you look at and go, boy, my center better be really good in protection. It's more of a help position most of the time anyways.
Yeah, and he'll improve.
Yeah.
It's not like he's bad anyway.
Yeah. The other thing about that, Kevin Colbert was on with, I believe, Stan Saverin today and said that the Steelers felt that if Kendrick Green had played more than the four career starts that he had at center, he would have been drafted higher.
Makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're in some draft rooms are going, I'd like him in center, but I wish I saw more.
Saw more of it, yeah. It's almost like, he's almost like looking at an opt-out at the center position because, again, only four games there. But he can do it. There were times when he did it not knowing that he was going to, people prepare all throughout the week to play one position and not playing center.
Mm-hmm. And now it's always going to do.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it is the day you draft him, you say, you're a center, get used to it, snap out, and it's not that much of a conversion, assuming he can handle it mentally, which I have no doubts he can.
Now, one guy we hadn't talked a lot about that they drafted in the fourth round was Dan Moore.
Yeah.
And he kind of got lost in the shuffle in this year's offensive tackle class.
That's a good way of putting it.
Because there were just so many, you couldn't mention them all.
No, and we didn't mention them often. some things stand out. A couple things stand out with all these guys. We can go back and do, you know, some themes of the draft. But I know he came to A&M as a guard, and he probably could do that. But I think he's a tackle all day
long.
He's
got a pure tackle body.
Yeah. You know, he's a little bit leaner, light green. He's good in space. He's a good athlete. I think you're going to see more outside zone than we're used to seeing in the run game. Long arms, certainly the frame to handle it, but also well, a lot of experience as well. So a project in terms of getting stronger, filling out a little bit, but he's been around the block at the high level too.
In the SEC.
At the SEC, yeah.
You know, people look at Texas A&M and they still don't think SEC. Mm-hmm. That's where they play their games at. They're playing Alabama. They're playing Georgia. They're playing LSU.
All those edge rushers.
Yeah. Same thing with Buddy Johnson. He was a guy that I started to mention a little bit late in the process of a guy, one of these inside 200 linebackers, 230 pounds that can run.
Oh, yeah.
Is a good form tackler, just needs to get better in coverage.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this a week or two ago. Just because you time well in the 40 doesn't mean you're good in coverage, and he needs work to do in that regard. And I don't know if he plays quite the speed he times, but I think he's certainly a more athletic version of Vince Williams. I mean, he loves to come downhill and thump.
He likes to come downhill.
He is really aggressive, leader, tough, all those things. Also has a lot of experience. He sets up to be a demon on special teams, too.
Yeah, this is something that, you know, again, you didn't have.
No.
You didn't have another linebacker, not counting Ulysses Gilbert, who could run in the same neighborhood as Devin Bush.
Right, right. You know? He's different than the other guys we have there. I mean, not that he's all the greatest traits, but he's somewhere between Williams and Bush.
Yeah.
You know, on the spectrum.
They then trade up in the fifth round.
Trading that took me by shock.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, but they traded the fourth-round pick from next season to move up and get Isaiah Loudermilk. And, you know, I know a lot of people looked at that and said, well, he wasn't listed on so-and-so's draft guide or this guy.
No, I didn't know much about him.
This guy had him as a, you know, undrafted free agent, stuff like that. He's listed at 6'7", 293 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't a lot of bodies types like that.
Yeah, you and I haven't talked about this much, but that's the true old school LeBeau 3-4 defensive end body type guys. They almost all get moved to tackle now.
Right.
You know, it's hard to find defenders that fit those dimensions. So that's a start. I mean, I bet they were working off a short list
and
there.
And they didn't have to project here because he had played that defense.
He
had played that at Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
They have a good foundation with the staff at Wisconsin with Paul Christ.
That, to me, is the key.
Yeah.
If this was some school that there was just Joe Blow, I'd kind of roll my eyes at it. And frankly, I think next year's fourth round will be a lot better than this year's fifth round. I mean, I'm totally guessing. I don't know who's in next year's draft, but it's going to be a deeper draft, you know. But because of that Wisconsin connection, I bet that's an ace up their sleeve. You know, I mean, I bet they knew something.
And here's the thing. When you look at
to give up what they did to
the late-round guys that they've gotten recently,
mm-hmm.
or even the undrafted free agent Henry Mondu, when you're taking a defensive lineman in rounds 6 or 7, he's not 6'7".
No.
He's not a 6'7", 300-pounder. He's a 6'3", 300-pounder. Mm-hmm. He's not your ideal prospect.
Right.
At the position.
And I know times have changed, but I even had this conversation with Kevin way back when. Like, back when they were LeBeau 3-4, you know, and the world's changed a lot, you had to be 6'4 and a half or more.
Yeah.
You know, we're not even looking at you, you know, for that position with long arms. And they got that guy. I mean, is he a perfect athlete? No. I went back and watched him a fair amount last night. He's productive. I mean, he's in on a lot of plays. Lower body's a little stiff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
But they'll coach him up and,
yeah.
you know. Again, if he works into the rotation, if he's getting 10 snaps a game at some point this season.
If he can spell Hayward to it while he learns, that'd be good.
In the sixth round, I think they got what I considered their steal of the draft. Quincy Roche being available in the sixth round. The sixth round was often where, when we were doing our mock drafts,
it was no man's land.
Where we would take one of those best edge rushers available.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never Quincy Roche being.
No, right. We always considered him in the fourth or so.
Yeah.
Talk about his role for next year. Maybe it's optimistic because he is a sixth round pick. I mean, no matter what we say or what, you know, I think he's going to be the third outside linebacker.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
I mean, I think he'll win that job early, and that's immense value.
Absolutely. I mean, right. I think he gets 10 to 15 snaps a game.
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later.
Right, right, right. I mean, I don't think there's a lot in his way.
And plays a lot in special teams. I think there's a definite role there, and you're talking about a six-rounder with a defined role.
See, I don't know that Moore, Loudermilk, the other guys we talk about are high-quality football players.
Right.
I know he is. I already know that about him, is he's really good at playing.
And that's the
right
thing,
now.
Too, is that you had to look at here, because when you have a draft like this where you take, okay, Najee Harris isn't playing any special teams.
No.
Pat Freiermuth, maybe here or there, but not a lot.
He's probably on field goal team.
He might be out there on your kick return or something
maybe,
like that.
Maybe.
As one of the up guys.
You're not getting much out of him there.
Yeah.
Though.
Kendrick Green, no.
No, neither one of those guys.
Dan Moore, no.
No.
Buddy Johnson will play special teams.
Maybe as well as anyone on the team.
Yeah.
Maybe I think he's going to be a star there.
Loudermilk, no.
No. Good point.
So Roche, yes. I mean,
you had
to get some guys that, you know, especially rookies that can handle that, because they're going to be core special teamers. We saw it with T.J. Watt the year he was drafted in the first round as a linebacker. He's a starter, and he's playing all the special teams.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
the first round pick.
Yeah, it's a first round pick. These guys are going to play.
Yeah, they're going to play. Yeah, I mean, I expect Roche to be active on game day, to be getting rotational snaps right off the bat, be on every special team.
Yeah. I mean, by the time you count up his defensive snaps and special team snaps, he's over 30 snaps a game.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a sixth-round pick.
Right.
I mean,
no, that's one of my favorite
good value.
Picks, pound for pound.
Yeah.
Probably is my favorite pick, pound for pound.
In the seventh round, then, they take Trey Norwood, the cornerback safety out of
have you got any more inclination
Oklahoma
what they're going to do with him? I mean,
I would think he's in the mix to be the nickel. He did a lot of that at Oklahoma.
Okay. I mean, I thought he'd probably be a nickel corner, but is he a safety? Is he a corner? You know, they brought in a lot of undrafted guys too that are defensive backs, so they
threw a lot at the wall.
That's exactly what it feels like. It's starting with him.
They
and
may find one there. The guy most interesting one there to me was Mark Gilbert. The kid out of Duke.
Oh, the Duke kid. Yeah,
he's only played four games the last
2 years.
Yeah. But in 2018, he played the full season and had five interceptions. Is big and can run.
Yeah.
His uncle's Sean Gilbert. So there's some bloodlines there. That also ties him in with Ty Law
and Darrell Revis.
Aliquippa guys. Yep. Yeah. There's some pedigree there.
Yeah, I feel that. I didn't recognize the name off the top of my head. But, yeah, I did know that story. And, boy, that seems like a Steeler move all day long.
Yeah.
And
he had injury issues the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there have been some strange years, obviously, too. So, and you also throw Shakir Brown in there. He was the brand name guy. But there's a lot of defensive backs coming to camp.
We had him in the mix there when you're looking at those, you know, sixth, seventh round guys. And Shakir Brown stood out, and they got him anyways.
And those undrafted guys, I don't know if they have any leg down, against the drafted dude either. I mean, throw them all in the mix, see who stands out.
Yeah, if the seventh rounder doesn't make it, I mean, there's really not much
difference.
Yeah,
right.
Other than if you get to pick the guy that you wanted, which leads us to the punter in the seventh round.
Yeah, right.
They got the guy that they wanted. People said, well, I've gotten the question, why did they waste a pick on a punter? Well, they've tried to sign punters after the draft in previous years, and those guys said, no, I'm going to sign with Team B here because – A, they're either offering me more money, or I have a better situation that I'm going to.
Yeah.
Or I want to stay in the South, or whatever
I got a buddy on the team, or whatever the reason is. I don't know much about the punting market and the rookies this year. I know nothing about it. I know about this guy because the Steelers drafted him. But as a rule of thumb, there's two – it's not like the center conversation. There's two or three that are one of the best 32 in the world. And people want them as undrafted free agents. And you have to compete. And – 10 teams out there aren't happy with their punter or would gladly downsize in terms
to
of
save
what you
cash
pay them.
Or,
right. Yeah. So I think it makes perfect sense, especially in a draft that wasn't very deep. The seventh rounder is available.
I mean, in the seventh round, with that last pick, they might have taken Shakir Brown.
Probably
would have. Well, they got him anyways.
They probably would have.
They were in fact, that was pretty much announced, the Shakir Brown signing was.
I'm not even sure the draft was over.
It was
like a second when it was wrapping up.
It was over. So I'm sure. When that seventh, I'm sure they were on the phone with him.
Oh, for two
or
rounds.
Or at least with his agent in the seventh round when they made both of those picks.
I don't know who his agent is. It's probably somebody they've dealt with a lot.
And they say, look, if we don't draft him here, we'd like to sign him.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll have a real shot to make the team.
And he's got a great shot to make the team. We wanted to draft a corner. It didn't work that way. We're going to treat him like he's a fourth or fifth round pick.
Which is where you saw him.
Yeah.
So they got some real value on day two, I thought.
Yeah.
Or day three, I should say. You know, they took the lineman that everybody wanted them. Hey, got to go get a lineman, got to get lineman.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They got lineman.
Tackle to mix is great.
Yeah. Of course, the other undrafted guys, Lamont Wade from Clareton, little undersized safety. 5'9", 180 is a little light to play.
I wonder if he's going to play slot.
Potentially, because he did run a 4.45. Now, he wasn't super productive, though.
Mm-mm.
But he was a five-star prospect.
Yeah, I remember that. But it's great to bring him to camp, see what he is at this stage.
I did like the offensive or the outside linebackers that they got as well. Jamar Watson was a guy that came up on our drafts, drafts at times. And then Calvin Bundage out of Oklahoma State as well. Bundage is more of a inside backer. He played outside backer for Oklahoma State, but he's
more an off the ball guy.
6 foot, 221 pounds.
Yeah, he's
had 7.5 sacks though last year.
Did he really?
Yeah. So there's some buzz. There's some juice there.
No, there are a lot of defensive guys, obviously.
Yeah. We mentioned Mark Gilbert. Actually, I said 5 interceptions in 2017. It was 6 in 2017. So
I bet he makes his team the more I think about it.
There's a good chance. Yeah. I mean, again,
I mean, practice squad,
bigger guy that can run and you know, has good hands, obviously. And you're looking at Rico Bussey or Busey. I'm not sure.
I don't know much about the two receivers, but I've heard good things about both.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know much.
The Hawaii guy, I saw a lot of people saying, boy, I thought he was going to get picked.
Yeah. And Isaiah McCoy is the other one out of Kent State.
Okay.
Got their Kent State guy. He was very productive, actually, in just 4 games last year because the max season was kind of weird.
Yeah, it was strange.
25 catches for 455 yards and 5 touchdowns. In 4 games, that's
That's pretty productive.
Yeah. Didn't run real well at his pro day. I think he was in the 4.6s, but again, he's 6'2", 200 pounds, so a bigger wide receiver.
Yeah.
That
I think they did well with their, and I don't know this, but you talked about it before. You know, they signed 5 guys before the draft, and I wonder if they just spent a little more. Like how my year with the Browns, I had $10,000 to spend on wide receivers.
Yeah.
Like, they give you a budget, and, well, you can go further for 8 guys than 13
they only needed 8, so instead of signing the 12 to 15 that they usually doing, so, well, we can allot the same amount of money, but
and you tell
we're only getting
8. Receivers, hey, we had draftable grades on you guys. We have an unbelievable history of evaluating receivers. We didn't draft anyone there. We got 2 guys who's about to hit free agency a year from now. It's a pretty attractive spot for a receiver, too.
Yeah. They also got Florida safety Donovan Steiner.
Okay.
Who was productive in last season as well.
Yeah.
There was more name value
in the undrafted guys.
In the undrafted guys than they typically have.
Yeah, because it's a smaller pool and they got to hand pick them a little bit more. Usually I kind of not brush it off, but don't pay a whole lot of attention to who the group is. But this is an easier one to decipher, and I think people need to be aware of who they are. Shakir Brown's the obvious name.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. But Gilbert's a guy I'm going to be keeping an eye on.
Yeah, right.
You'll
be writing some stories about him, too,
Some upside there for sure. Of course, today as well, the Steelers declined to pick up the fifth-year option.
Let's hold on that for a second, because there's a couple trends I mentioned I think that stand out with this team. First of all, everyone they drafted is from a big school. First time in a while that they've had a draft from all power conferences.
Everybody played football last year.
As I say, the other thing, no one opted out. You know, I mean, they have more information from big schools than ever. Tough and physical. It really stood out at just about every position. And a lot of versatility, too. A lot of these guys can do more than one thing, play more than one position, well-rounded. And
don't need to come off the field.
No. And I think that they're more so than some other Steeler drafts. I bet there's a lot of rookie snaps next year. You know, there's a lot of opportunity for early playing time. Obviously, the first pick and the last pick go without saying if the punter wins the job. But there's a lot of chances that this is the highest rookie number of snaps that the team gets.
Surprise me at all if Freiermuth outsnaps
Ebron
this year.
I could see it.
Ebron, let's say you got 1,000, maybe more than that this year because of the 17 games. But let's say it's 1,100 offensive snaps. They're going to play some together.
Oh, yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if Freiermuth ends up with 700 snaps and Ebron's at 500.
Wouldn't either, especially if he, I mean, especially late in the season. I mean, if he continues to get better and better and better. Yeah. I mean, I think some people look at him as a backup, which I think is wrong. I think he's a different, not a different style, but somewhat different style. I mean, I think there'll be a lot of snaps when one tight end on field, and it's not always going to be Ebron being that guy.
Right. I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because Freiermuth gives you a lot of the same matchup issues.
Right, and he's more physical, and you know he will line up.
He probably doesn't run quite as well as Ebron, but Ebron doesn't run quite as well as he did when he came into the league. He was a top 10 pick in the league for a reason.
Oh, yeah. He had a great 40 and all those things, too. So I think they'll play a lot together. I think he'll be the single tight end quite a bit, too.
Yeah, I agree. As I mentioned, moving on to the draft from a few years ago.
Yeah.
Terrell Edmonds, 5th-year option not picked up. That would have been $6.75 million.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. I looked at it as, well, I mean, that's kind of the going rate for a starting safety.
I was a little shocked.
It isn't.
Right.
It might be more of a, you know, a high-end safety. They're going to have to be negotiating with Minkah Fitzpatrick here soon as well with on a new deal. Not this year, but, you know, after next year. They may have looked at that and said, you know, if we're going to pay Minkah $10, $12 million a year, which would probably be the going rate for Minkah Fitzpatrick, can you afford then to pay Terrell Edmonds $6.75 million? Because that's going to be, if we give him that 50-year option.
That's a jumping off point.
That's where the negotiations begin at, if
really
I'm his
like
agent.
A franchise tag.
It really is.
Yeah.
So you don't give it to him, and then the agent can't come back and say, well, you gave him $6.75 million last year, so that's where we want to start at. Now you can start those negotiations. Hey, how about five?
That's what I was going to say. Like, if I were them right now, I might go to the agent and say, how about 2 years for $9 million?
Okay.
Right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were him, I'd strongly consider it with a decent bonus, you know, a chunk of that guaranteed or the majority of it guaranteed. Get him for 2 more years.
And you just sell it to him with what I just said. Hey, look, we got to pay Minkah, we got to pay TJ.
Mm-hmm.
You're obviously third in that pecking order, and we like you a lot.
We're paying you decent money, 2-year deal. You know, a lot of job security.
You just saw Sean Davis,
wash out as a second.
He started next to you there for a year, and what happened with him?
Mm-hmm.
So
right, you start bouncing around the league. You don't know how it's going to work. What's your value on the open market? What's the cap going to look like? You know, we got some money right now. All right, you want 10 over 2? Okay.
Yeah. What it doesn't mean to me is that people are automatically jumping on. See, this was a bad pick. They didn't pick up his option. They think he stinks. That's not the case.
No, I don't think that's the case. I mean, if Minkah didn't exist or if they just had Joe Average free safety there, maybe they'd have picked it up. Or this story's not done yet either.
No, this is just a chapter in the book.
Right.
That we're going to continue to look at here. The whole league had to make those decisions.
Was today the deadline?
Today was the deadline. Okay. It was the third. So a lot of different guys from that first round did or did not get their options picked up. I did want to talk about that, but we'll do that in the next segment.
Okay. Not a lot of surprises, but it is interesting how the league thinks and how that draft class looks now. You know, draft grades are so stupid, but we could grade that draft now.
We could.
you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
The league tells you.
Yeah, they tell you a lot, but that's going to do it for this segment of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Tune to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. This is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. Of course, you can subscribe to us wherever you download your podcasts. We appreciate that. If you do, you can like the show. You can also
leave us a five-star review there. While you're at it, and all kinds of glowing praises.
Got a lot of feedback on the draft coverage that we did over the weekend.
It was long but fun and went quick, as it always does, and I really enjoyed it.
I don't know how you felt about this, and you do more of this than I do, but I felt better prepared for this draft than I've been maybe for any other draft. Me too.
I
just felt like I knew there were no surprise names out there. Who's that guy?
Right. Every year there's somebody that goes early. I remember Mike Mitchell was the first one the one year. You remember him coming out of OU, and I didn't know he was going to be a Steeler, but – Al Davis takes him in the early second round because he's big and fast. And I remember I was on the air. And I was like, he's big and he's fast. a couple of the Steeler guys I had to do a little more homework on. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I didn't know their whole bio and their whole scouting report when it happened. But they were late guys, too.
Late, really. And, I mean, the punter. We didn't look a whole lot at specialists.
I knew he was a big punter.
Yeah. The 2018 draft.
Yes.
The fifth-year options were due today. As we mentioned in a previous segment, the Steelers did not pick up the fifth-year option on Terrell Edmunds. But they were not alone in not picking
and
up.
And real quick, the rules have
the
changed.
The rules are done. Different now.
It's not just like – it's not a no-brainer anymore. Like, if you're on the fence, it's not necessarily a good idea.
This helped, I think, the guys in the top 10 – to a large degree, and some of those guys in the middle. I think it hurt the guys toward the end of the first round.
We mentioned a couple names, and names that were on Steeler fans' mind when the draft happened 4 years ago, if you recall. Yeah. But I'm not sure it's great to be in the bottom third.
Here's what happened. It used to be the top 10 picks, their fifth-year option was all pre-slotted.
Yeah, it's X amount no matter what.
And it was, I believe, if memory serves, they got the average of the franchise tag at their position.
Is that what it was? Okay.
I believe that was it. So they got paid big money if you were in the top 10. Those top 10 guys were guaranteed that if you picked up the option. The difference was that wasn't guaranteed. It became fully guaranteed if the player was on the roster the following year, in that year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way it is, and the other 22 guys after that were all slotted a certain pay.
Right. If you're the 12th pick, it's a little bit better.
Yeah,
than the
you made more than the okay. yeah. You made more than the 22nd pick.
Yeah.
And so on and so
each
forth.
Each one was a slightly different.
Yeah. Now, this was negotiated in the new CBA. If you've been to a Pro Bowl, you get the average of the franchise tag,
which I have a problem with because.
Pro Bowl is not a great indicator.
No. I assume that they just mean all you have to do is somehow get there.
Yeah.
Which could mean you're the sixth quarterback that deserves it.
Right.
And everyone else opts out or is in the Super Bowl or injured or whatever.
If you haven't made that but you've been a starter, you get essentially the transition tag money.
How do they know what a starter is, though?
Well, you have to play. It's a certain number of snaps, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's a playing time thing.
Yeah. If you look at this, run down the list here. The Browns picked up Baker Mayfield at $18.8 million.
However, 1 year ago, that wasn't a slam dunk.
No, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and that's still a pretty significant raise for Baker Mayfield. I mean, he was making like 10, and now he goes up to 18.
I mean, there's a chance he doesn't.
And they're going to have to.
Worth it,
they're going to have to probably sign him to an extension.
Mm-hmm. But it's an easy decision at this point. And of course, they're doing it.
Saquon Barkley, fifth-year option. 7.217. They exercised that.
Just look at the difference, though, from running back to quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's what teams are going to deal with next year, or, you know, going forward.
Yeah. Sam Darnold. This is why when we talked about Sam Darnold and the potential of the Steelers trading for him, to me, it just didn't make any sense. So Carolina trades for him. They've never seen him. He's never played a down for the Panthers, but they have to because they traded for him, pick up his fifth-year option because you can't just do it for 1 year.
They were a little bit slick and waited until after the draft to make people think that they might take a guy instead of a position player, but they were the second they made the trade, they knew this was coming.
So they're now on the hook for the same $18.858 million for Sam Darnold as Baker Mayfield.
Right.
And that's fully guaranteed. The moment this year, the difference was the moment you offered that money, that made that offer to the player, it becomes fully guaranteed the next year. So essentially, you're guaranteeing the 2 years of his contract.
Right.
Because you can't cut, even if you cut him after the year, you still owe him that money. That money's guaranteed.
Deal. Right. Like a lot of people looked at Darnold and thought he's very cost controlled for the next couple of years. He is.
But it's like 20, it's cheap. $24 million over
this year's
2 years.
This year's like $6 million. Yeah. Then it becomes what, 18?
And if he's not your starting, if he's not your starting quarterback next year, you got $18 million, almost $19 million tied up in a guy who,
right,
isn't your starting quarterback.
Which is why Bridgewater's gone. But
it's kind of the same move that they made with Bridgewater. They gave Bridgewater
similar money,
and then decided, yeah, he's not the guy.
And then they trade Bridgewater. They owed Bridgewater $10 million guaranteed. Trade Bridgewater for a 6-round pick. And they ate $7 million of that deal too. Yeah. So Denver is only paying him $3 million
in a year, in which I saw today. I think they have like $16 or $17 million in dead money to Teddy Bridgewater this year. In a year in which the cap's only $182 million, it's like 10% of their cap's tied up in Teddy Bridgewater. It's Teddy Bridgewater.
I mean, I remember that deal happened though too, because he had just left New Orleans, a very quarterback friendly situation. Played, what, 4 or 5 games. The Saints won all the games, and he was okay.
Yeah.
Like, that was a bad signing the second half.
Oh, absolutely.
Too, right?
Yeah. So, Sam Darnold, they're on the hook for $18.858 million.
I know we bash Bridgewater a lot, but the Broncos just popped up on the screen, and I'm thinking, they don't think they have the quarterback situation solved either.
No.
You know, I mean, they gave up nothing for this guy.
Denzel Ward, the Browns exercised his option, $13.29 million. Mm-hmm. So in this is the problem with having...
So the Browns have a lot of guys hitting at the same time.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett was the year before.
Two guys in the top four. And so you're now tying up $32 million on your cap this year between those two guys.
Obviously, it's better to hit than miss on your top 10
sure,
picks.
Absolutely.
You've had great cheap labor to this point. But now is a different turning point in the franchise history, really.
And the problem then becomes, as we talked about with Terrell Edmonds in a previous segment... Now you're going to try, maybe after this year or next year, to do a new contract with Denzel Ward.
You would think.
And the starting point, if I'm his agent, is going to be, well, you just paid him $13.3 million. Yep. So.
And it just dawned on me. They used a first-round pick on a corner.
Yeah.
Maybe they realize they're going to have to let him go.
I don't think they're going to be able to afford him because I don't think Denzel Ward's a $13.3 million cornerback.
He'd have to play at a really high level, and then can you afford to franchise him and go from there? And, you know, maybe Newsom and Williams or next year's first-round pick or your corners.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the first casualty. We'll get to Njoku, too. Like, that didn't work out.
Bradley Chubb with the Broncos. Classified as a defensive end, first of all.
I think that's what he is.
Which makes a difference in the compensation because he gets $12.7 million.
Mm-hmm. Which worked out better for TJ, right? He was not classified as a defensive end.
No, it worked out worse. He didn't get. He was classified as an outside linebacker.
Outside linebackers make more than defensive ends.
They make less.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It worked better for the Steelers.
Oh, you said worked out better for TJ. It didn't work out better for TJ. It's the same argument Bud Dupree had last year. I'm an edge, the same as these guys.
That's not fair. That needs to be cleared up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Quentin Nelson, $13.75 million. They picked that up, obviously.
Of course, but that's a lot for a guard.
That's a lot of money for a guard. Maybe they move him to tackle this year.
I guess that's still on the in a potential move.
Yeah,
but what did Joe Tooney make? 15, I think,
something like that. Yeah,
I mean, I'd rather have Nelson, especially age considered.
Yeah,
these top guards are starting to make some money.
But this is again, these guys start to get expensive.
Right.
Speaking of which, Josh Allen was 7. He gets $23.1 million next year.
Why is he different than Baker?
Because he's made a Pro Bowl.
Oh, because he's good.
That's the difference. The difference. It's a basically a $4 million difference there.
And they're going to extend him, and Lamar's going to get extended long term, and so is Baker. But, I didn't put two and two together.
These guys aren't cheap anymore.
No,
you
not
lost
at all.
That.
Right,
you lost that option on him.
And what's funny is the Steelers have suffered is the wrong word. I mean, you don't suffer with Ben Roethlisberger, but have had to deal with that for forever.
Yeah.
Maybe next year you won't. You know,
it's
amazing when you're lucky enough to get in that situation.
Roquan Smith, Bears picked up his option, 9.735.
He really stepped up this past year. So I think that's the going rate. An ascending player, you know, they don't have a lot of draft picks going forward and stuff, too. I think you got to build around him.
Mike McGlinchey with the 49ers, $10.88 million. They picked that up.
and Trent Williams is the highest paid tackle in the league, too.
Yeah, right? They get a lot of money.
A lot of money in two players on the offensive line.
Now, Josh Rosen's listed with the 49ers here because he's on his fourth team.
He's a Niner right now, I think. Yeah.
But they don't have to pick up his option because he's been released like 17 times. So.
Okay. I mean, like Minka, you do because he's been traded.
Yeah.
But because it's a new contract.
He's not on his rookie contract
anymore.
That
contract's long gone. Okay.
So the Dolphins missed badly on that one.
Yes, they did.
Dolphins? No.
Well, the Dolphins traded for him.
Yeah,
they
Cardinals.
Gave him a second for
the Cardinals
him. They missed
were
badly
the,
on him, too. Cardinals missed very, very badly.
The Steelers with Minka Fitzpatrick, they exercised that. It's $10.612 million.
And they knew Stave was coming the second they traded for him.
Yeah. But again, that safety price is not, when you look at some of these other ones, it's like.
Not for one of the better defenders in the league.
Guy's been a two-time, you know, he's been an all-pro.
Right.
The difference between going to the Pro Bowl and being an all-pro.
What did you say Bradley Chubb was?
12.7.
I mean, I'd much rather Minka than Chubb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vita Vea. Defensive tackle for the Buccaneers. They picked up the option on him. 7.6.
I think he's worth it.
Yeah.
He came back like gangbusters and was really good before his injury.
That's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Washington at 13 exercised their option on Daron Payne.
He's a really good player.
$8.5 million.
Right.
Marcus Davenport by the Saints, $9.55 million.
I thought he was maybe the one that was not.
They picked it up.
He was as close as you get. He's been a little disappointing. They traded up for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Raiders at 15 took Colton Miller. They not only did they didn't worry about exercising they gave him an extension.
Yeah, they signed him this offseason. Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm sure the extension was or the tag the fifth year was the jumping off point.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. 16, the Bills took Tremaine Edmonds. They exercised that option at 12.7.
Mm-hmm.
Derwin James was. Exercise. He's at 9.052. That would have been a tough one. As the player, just on standalone, yes.
You better trust your doctors, and they better be saying.
But he's only really played one season.
I know. Phenomenal, though. I mean, healthy, I'd take him over Minka, over every safety in the league, I think. He's different, but I'm sure.
Healthy's a key word here, because we're going to run into that
brutal,
here with some other guys.
Yeah.
And they didn't get their options picked up. Jair Alexander was a no-brainer.
Yeah, easy
13.294
one. It's not bad for a number one corner.
Yeah. See, I have much less of a problem paying him that than I do Denzel Ward.
Oh, yeah. He's a better player.
Not even close.
Yeah, he's a better player.
The Cowboys. Cowboys with Leighton Van Der Esch, the guy everybody wanted the Steelers to trade up to get, did not pick up his extension or did not they declined the option on him. That would have been $9.145 million. He can't stay on the field.
Can't stay on the field.
And that was an issue for him at Boise.
Then they draft Micah Parsons in the first round, and as you mentioned off the air, another linebacker in the mid-rounds. You know, so I know we're not talking about Jalen Smith, but I think they regret re-signing him, too. He has this drop-foot issue that is never going to be better. I mean, that pairing, you haven't got a lot of good snaps out of the two of them combined, and they're going back to the well. And Sean Lee retired, and he's had the same injuries, too. I mean,
So he's the first one that was declined – straight up declined.
What number was he overall?
He was 19.
Okay.
I think that was the first one that was actually, he's the first actual guy that was declined.
It's a pretty good draft class of 18 in a row.
Yeah.
Or they're all going to bring you back because none of those are cheap deals.
Right. The Lions exercised the option on Frank Ragnow. This is expensive, though. Good player, but $12.65 million.
Wow.
For a center.
I wonder, is that interior line or is center its own thing? I'm curious how they. How they rank that, because he is a center.
He's a center. He must have made a Pro Bowl.
I know he did.
Yeah, he did. Okay, so because he's more than the next guy on the list, Billy Price.
Billy Price stinks.
Whose option was not declined. That was 10.4.
It was declined.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy one.
Titans.
He didn't get any Pro Bowl.
The Titans with Rashawn Evans, another guy Steelers fans wanted to trade up for. Declined. 9.75.
I bet that one could be like the Edmonds Steelers one, where
not a bad player, but
not a bad player, maybe not quite worth that buck. Yeah, you know, they've really reshuffled their defense and put money into corners and Bud, and I think they just want to look at things a little differently on defense, shuffle those deck a lot. But he may be a Titan for the next 3 years too.
Yeah, could happen.
Yeah,
the Patriots at 23 took Isaiah Wynn. They exercised his option at 10.4.
I don't know if he's a guard or a tackle or
I don't know that they know what he is yet because he can't stay on the field.
He can't stay on the field. They have a lot of linemen. They have money, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
The Panthers at 24 with DJ Moore, $11.1 million. They picked that up.
Easy one, yeah. But I'm pretty sure after, well, no, never mind.
This one, next one's kind of surprising, although they did just draft Kyle Pitts. Hayden Hurst at $5.4 million was declined.
It was declined. They gave up, I mean,
you gave up a premium pick. Yeah.
Second round pick straight up for him.
Yeah.
For and then Baltimore.
And then you're just going to let him go because you got, you could use him and Pitts.
Yeah. I don't, even if Pitts didn't exist,
$5.4 million is
not bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say if Pitts didn't exist, I think I would probably keep him. He's okay.
Yeah.
I don't love him.
I mean, his agent's probably loving that, though. That, oh, you get to hit the open market next year.
I mean, I don't think he's quite at the Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith level, but he might be the, I mean, probably the best tight end.
Well, those guys both got paid. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to get 75% of their money.
He gets $8 million on the open market. Is, you know, okay, this is good news for you.
Maybe New England will sign him, too.
If the Ravens don't bring him back.
Right.
So that was declined. Calvin Ridley, $11.1 million, obviously.
That's like DJ Moore.
Yeah, 26 like, for the Falcons.
Got to do it.
Rashad Penny.
Wow.
Declined.
Yeah, easy one.
And everybody knew that was a bad pick when they made it. $4.5
million.
Yeah. We mentioned,
and they just re-signed Carson.
Mentioned Edmonds at 28. Uh-huh. Declined. Taven Bryan with the Jaguars.
That's going to be declined. That's I haven't seen it officially yet, but that's an easy one. He hardly plays for them. Struggles to learn a little bit. Yeah.
Mike Hughes with the Vikings at 12.6 declined.
Yeah, I guess you got to do that. They've drafted a lot of corners lately.
Yeah.
They've made a lot of picks lately.
So Sony Michel with the pack with the Patriots.
That's going to be declined.
That's going to be declined.
He hasn't seen that one yet. Issues, and I think they drafted a back this year, too. I forget who. But they have the last couple years. Harris is probably the starter there.
And then, obviously, Lamar Jackson at 23.1 was picked up. So if you look at the guys drafted from 19 on.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4... Five guys out of 13 picks were declined.
Really?
Whereas in years past, previously, those guys would have been the ones that are much more likely to have theirs picked up because they were a lot cheaper.
Because they're cheaper, right.
Yeah.
I think those guys in the bottom third didn't get any favors with the new CBA. All in all, though, that's a really good first round.
Yeah.
I mean, was there like seven declines?
But this goes back to what we talk about with that fifth round option.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the guy's a star... And really, those first 16 or so picks are your slam dunk first rounders.
Yeah.
And then everybody after that is essentially a second rounder in all but name.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure if we pulled up the second round, there's a lot of good names that are just as good as Edmonds and
Hurst
Evans and
yeah.
you know, right,
even
right.
Ridley and guys like that. And those are good players, but...
But there's a lot of receivers those years, too. Think about Najee, though. If you bring it full circle to where will Najee be... 4 years from now, which none of us know. He may be out of the league. He may be the best back we've ever seen. I mean, he's probably going to be somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between that, yeah.
But the running back numbers...
Aren't crazy.
You know, I mean,
now, if he makes a couple of Pro Bowls, then that...
Yeah. If he doesn't make a Pro Bowl, I don't think you extend him anyway.
Well, you see the difference here. Okay, so Saquon Barkley was the second overall pick. He made a Pro Bowl, $7.2 million.
So it'll be under that, probably.
Yeah.
And there'll be some inflation, I'm sure, but...
Well, it probably goes up a little bit from...
Right,
if but he makes a Pro Bowl,
top 10 guy different than
no,
so okay, just Pro Bowl no matter what in the first round. Okay,
and then
even if it's nine,
the number on Rashad Penny was 4.5.
Okay, so even if it's nine, let's say Harris goes to a Pro Bowl and you love him and he's a very good player,
you're picking up that option.
You're picking up that option at nine easily. You've already got 4 years of labor out of the guy, and then you can have the conversation a year from then to franchise him, which probably won't be much different than nine anyway.
Right.
So if you get 6 years out of him at, say, $20 million for the last 2 years, I mean, I'm inflating it a little bit, and whatever he makes on his first contract, that's great. You know, I mean, because he's not going to last past that, I'm sure. They're not going to extend him for year 7, 8, 9, 10. And if he is a superstar Hall of Famer, probably on 1 year deals. No one's signing long term running back deals in year 7.
Yeah. So here's the difference here. So Le'Veon Bell, Steelers took him in the second round in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him a $1.3 million signing bonus. His first year salary was $400,000. So he made $1.7 million in actual cash for year one.
Yeah.
Year two, he had a $97,000 roster bonus, but his salary was only $495,000, so he made $592,000 that year.
Okay.
You're
talking about his earnings,
his
not cap hits.
His money, what he was paid that year. In 2015, $687,000, and he got a $43,000 in incentives that he earned, so $731,000.
Anything under $1 million is wonderful, though, for the team.
$853,000 in year four.
Okay. So this is the inflation they get year to year.
And then they had to franchise tag him in year five.
Right.
At $12.12 million. Mm-hmm. And that was only that high because Adrian Peterson had just signed a huge deal that
sent him through the market a little bit. Right.
So it changed the market a little bit. Otherwise, it would have been more like $10
million. Mm-hmm.
So he made more money on that franchise tag in 2017 by far.
And complained about it.
Than what he made in his previously.
By double.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know,
so, and first rounder, Najee is going to make more than that, obviously, per year.
Per year, and he'll get a bigger signing bonus. Mm-hmm. And but you're still getting a, you know, this is my problem with the running back position. You know, I know it sounds great to say, oh, just run him into the ground and then get another one. Is it really fair to those guys to do that playing on rookie contracts?
No, it's most unfair to that position of all. I mean, the CBA is brutal on running backs. Yeah. It's not fair at all.
And we've seen what it looks like when you don't have one.
Oh, right.
You know, when you don't have a great one, it's not good.
No.
You know.
The CBA is terrible for running backs.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been. The last couple CBAs have been terrible for running backs, and it's worse than ever. I do wonder, we have seen a little bit of a run in running backs making good money. McCaffrey got signed, Zeke, Cook,
Gurley,
Mixon, Kamara. I mean, guys that are bumping up that top five number a little faster than it has in recent past, and all those guys can catch the ball.
Yeah.
They've signed extensions.
In five seasons with the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell made $16 million to be arguably, if not the best back in the league, certainly in the top five.
Oh, yeah. Over that five-year stretch.
Over that five-year stretch.
Top three.
$3 million a year.
Yeah. That's nice.
That running back, I don't care where you draft him, it's cheap labor.
Yeah. The argument, though, the thing we're overlooking is, and I'm not in favor of it, but if you'd use the 24th pick on a tackle and he's a starter, well, the difference between most starting tackles and your rookie tackle is even greater than the running back.
But is the number six tackle or whatever, or the, you know, whatever, I can't even remember how many tackles were taken.
Right.
But is he guaranteed to start right away?
Was he going to any Pro Bowls?
Right.
Does he guarantee to start right away?
Much better does he make you on game day?
And whenever his time comes up for that option, it's a bigger number.
It's a much bigger number.
Right. Like safeties, running backs. I don't think tight ends are real high, although Kittle and Kelsey might screw that up a little bit. It's, you know, it's an easy pickup because it's a low number.
And keep seeing the
no offense to Edmonds.
Yeah, keep seeing the argument, well, you know, you can get those running backs in later rounds. Well, I think if you really paid attention in this year's draft, I don't know that you could.
I don't think the league reacted as though you could.
They certainly didn't look that way.
No, right. Yeah, you can.
There were more by the time the fourth running back came off the board, which was Trey Sermon.
Yeah.
There were more tight ends picked than running backs in this draft.
Massive gap from Williams to Sermon. What was it, like 30-some picks, right?
More than that.
Yeah, because he was a late third.
He was a late third round. He was pick 88.
And Williams, I think, was like 34.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge gap in a position.
It's more than a round and a half.
Did any other position have a gap that big at any point in the draft?
And this was a defensive tackle class that was awful.
Right, even quarterbacks.
And those guys went.
Go 80 picks without a quarterback taken.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the way it played out this year. And, you know, every draft is different. You can't
every
just look.
Different.
I get the argument that, well, you know, you could find running backs anywhere. Yeah, you can.
You can.
But
there's
also
been fifth and sixth round safeties that have been good players too. And
absolutely, you can find the reality of the situation is you can find a quarterback in the sixth round if you want one. You can find him undrafted. Tony Romo was undrafted.
I can give you a long list.
Doesn't
of
mean you
of
should. Yeah, doesn't mean that that's what you should try to do every year.
Right.
You should try to do it every year. Doesn't mean you should count on doing it.
One of the things I think running backs have going against them, which is to no fault of their own. There's more people walking around the mall that look like running backs than tackles and edge rushers or even that have corner traits. I mean, the other positions have rarer traits amongst human beings on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just kind of the way that goes.
And the other part
and
of that
takes so much wear and tear. So
it's the wear and tear. How many of these great college running backs you look at and say, boy, he would have been a great pro, or this guy, you know,
Blair Thomas, or, yeah, you know, those type of guys,
or blew his knee out, or Kajana Carter,
Kajana, yeah, you know, some of those guys, right?
Okay, and yeah, you can find those guys later, but those guys who were drafted later, you don't see long careers out of those guys. And when I say I say a long career for a running back, I'm talking 3 years.
Right, let alone six.
Let alone six, getting six quality seasons out of them. Right. Doesn't happen.
I mean, even James Robinson, perfect example. Heck of a story. You can get your James Robinson. New staff comes in and says, we're going to take it back the first
round.
Yeah,
we'll take Travis Etienne instead.
And Robinson, I'm sure, will play, and I'm sure they like him, and he's fine. But they watch the tape and say, we got to get better at that position.
Yeah.
You know, right.
I mean, Terrell Davis is probably one of the great late-round running backs. He really had 3 good years.
Now, with all respect to TD, who I don't think is a Hall of Famer.
I don't think so either.
Who was it? Mike Anderson comes in behind him. There's like 3 other examples that weren't as
but
good.
But each one, like I've people threw that argument at him. Well, in 10 years, Shanahan had 7 different backs running for 1,000 yards or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many of them did it consistently? And one of them was Clinton Portis, by the way.
I was going to say, before this conversation, they traded Champ Bailey, who's in the Hall of Fame, and would probably be the first pick in just about any draft, straight up for Portis. Yeah. And I think they threw in a pick. And you, don't tell me they didn't think running backs don't matter. I mean, yeah. You're going to be a stud, shutdown man-to-man corner who's a freak show, and they're going to trade him in a pick for Portis. So, I mean, that was Shanahan that did that, too.
Right.
I mean, and there were different times. And I think you and I agree. I mean, if I'm building a team – and I have the same grade on every position out there, I'll take 5 offensive linemen before I take a running back, but the world doesn't work that way.
No.
You know,
especially in this draft where
this draft was the total opposite.
You know, it was so much deeper on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were guys who people were talking about as second, third round draft grades on them who were going in the 4th and 5th rounds on the offensive line position.
Right, right, right.
Jalen Moore, in most drafts, is probably a second round pick. Third at the worst.
I'd say you don't get a Kendrick Green type of prospect at the running back position unless – I mean, Kendrick Green versus Javonte Williams is a conversation to me. You know, just in a nutshell, no supply and demand. Who do I rather have if I have no one on my roster? I would probably say Green. But in this class, I would have taken Williams well ahead of him.
Yeah, just depends on what your needs were.
Yeah.
What you need, okay, do I need a starter? Okay, then I better get one of those top three guys.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't need a starter, if I'm looking for a supplemental back, then I can afford to wait and take one of these other guys.
Another thing I've always wanted to bring up that I forget for some reason is, unlike some other positions, if you have money to spend, you can't go get a running back on the open market because they're already 5 years old. You know, like they're already worn out.
They're all used up.
I can go, if I have $1 billion, I can go get a left tackle. I got to pay him. But I can get one that I love and pay him however I want. You can't – there's not backs on the markets that are pro bowlers in their prime because their prime's already gone.
Yeah, it just doesn't work that way.
There's only one way to get them, and it's kind of drafting them high. It doesn't have to be the first round, but the best backs in the league are top 50 picks.
80% of the 1,000-yard rushers since 2000 have been drafted in the first 3 rounds.
And everyone rebuts that by saying, well, none this year were. Do you think Barkley and McCaffrey and Zeke and wouldn't have been if they didn't get hurt? And then they say, well, backs get hurt. That's why you don't invest in them. Like,
but there are a lot more. There's only been like 10 running backs drafted in the first who are in football right now.
Right. The non-first versus the first is
a
exactly
lot bigger
a good
pool.
Argument because there's a lot more of the nons.
Yeah.
You're right.
So anyways, but that's going to do it for this segment. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. This is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio, and it is fantasy football time, Matt.
Yeah, this will tie into real world as it always does. And
absolutely.
For new listeners that haven't listened to our fantasy segments, we try to make it, even if you're not into fantasy, to be as interesting as possible with what we project at the NFL.
It all ties together.
Right, right, it does.
And this one's going to tie into the draft.
Yeah, right.
Look, we're going to go team by team about who makes an impact and, you know, kind of where they fit into everything here. So Arizona Cardinals are first. Really, their only true fantasy player who will make an impact this year is Rondale Moore, their second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see him fitting in that
if
offense?
If we're just talking fantasy, there's 8 to 10 of these small receivers that I like better for the real world than I do fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and
they're not going to be big touchdown producers.
No. I mean, I just think some of them are going to be sort of gadgety, a little on the small side. They'll manufacture some, you know, some quick throws to him, which is great. You know, he gets 3 or 4 easy catches a game, but they're not going to be deep downfield all that much. I like the player, but for fantasy, I'm staying away from him, and others will fit that bill.
I kind of see that as the who's the Penn State kid that
Hamler.
Hamler.
Yeah.
It's kind of a Hamler situation where there were some games where Hamler would have been useful if he's in your lineup.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
but most games he wasn't.
Right. Most games he wasn't.
Yeah. Because
in Arizona,
it's still largely DeAndre Hopkins and
AJ Green's there, but I don't know that matters. I mean, Christian Kirk might have a better year than him, you know?
Yeah. So that one's not one that
doesn't excite me.
Yeah. The Falcons, however, with Kyle Pitts, that excites you.
If we just talk fantasy, he's not going to – I mean, just for this year, rookie year, are you taking him as like the 6th, 7th, 8th tight end?
I think he might be higher than that.
Like Kelce Kittle.
Yeah.
I'm taking Waller over him.
Okay.
I mean, I'm doing this off the top of my head. I'm taking Hockenson over him.
I'm not.
As a rookie –
I'm not.
I mean, like, big picture, I'm not.
They didn't take him 4th overall not to use him.
Superstar.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm taking him over the Gesekis of the world, and, I mean, he's
I don't know what to make of the Patriots situation.
I don't either one of those guys over him.
Yeah.
I mean, I might take Dallas Goedert once Ertz leaves.
I think he's top 5.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time coming up with other names. Hockenson's someone I just really like, but that might be about it. Yeah. Goddard comes to mind as a tough one if Ertz
is gone. They didn't draft a running back.
No. They're going to score a
They're going to throw the football.
They're going to throw the football a ton, and they're going to score a lot of points, too.
So you know, he's going to get 100 targets?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty rare.
So if he gets 100 targets and catches 70 passes, that puts him in tight end 5 conversation.
Yeah. Like you're taking him over Ingram easily.
Yeah.
How about Andrews?
He's going to be on the field more often.
Yeah. Andrew's a pretty good history.
He does, but he's not a full-time player.
He wasn't great last year either.
Wasn't, no. And again,
that's probably the neighborhood,
though.
Yeah. I mean, it's 5'6"-ish.
Carolina Panthers. They drafted Terrace Marshall in the 2nd round. They drafted Tommy Tremble and Chuba Hubbard in the 3rd round and 4th round. Hubbard is not fantasy relevant on that
No,
team.
But he might be the direct backup with Mike Davis out of there. I mean, he might be a high-end handcuff.
He could be, yeah. Marshall, to me, I don't know if that moves a needle.
No.
There's too many other mouths to feed there.
The rookie receiver class is really, really good, but it's going to take me some convincing of fantasy for these guys.
And Tremble's largely a blocker, although I think he has more – there's more there for him as a receiver.
But you've got to prove it to me at this level before I'm consider him in the fantasy world.
Yeah.
Chuba Hubbard, though, is an injury away from being a stud.
Potentially. Yeah.
We don't know that he's a 2.
Yeah. The Chicago Bears with Justin Fields.
Hi.
I would put him in my top 20 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Because he's going to start sooner rather than later.
It easily could be opening day.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're picking right now, he's not my starter, of course, but Jalen Hurts wasn't last year either, and he won a lot of leagues for people.
Yeah. You know? I would, you know, just – If you're in a short league, let's say it's a 12-team league, and you can draft 3 quarterbacks and stash one.
He's a perfect one.
He's perfect to do that.
Do it early.
If he plays 12 games, he's rushing for at least 600 yards.
His receivers are good, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Cole Kmet to me is going to be fantasy-worthy. Mooney, Robinson, Montgomery catches the ball. Oh, by the way, they drafted Tevin Jenkins, too. Like, I'm not a big Bears believer, but I'm a huge Fields believer,
yeah.
And I'm warming up to the fact that they could be a good fantasy offense all around.
They got Khalil Herbert in the sixth round as well.
He's got some Montgomery-like traits, too.
Yeah, they didn't have much there behind Montgomery last year.
They could have used him last year.
So he's another
guy. He's a
late-round
flyer that wouldn't mind either. Montgomery's taken a lot of punishment in 2 years.
The Cowboys.
They didn't do anything.
Didn't do anything. Their top offensive guy was Simi Fehiko in the fifth round.
Who I kind of like, but he's never going to see the field.
He's not going to see the field for them, yeah.
No. So that's, they were all defense.
Nobody's fantasy relevant there. For the Lions, kind of the same thing. Amon Ross St. Brown in the fourth round. Could
he
play.
Might be their best receiver.
Could play, yeah.
The receivers are so bad. And what's crazy is the rest of their offense is now pretty decent.
Yeah.
Penei Sewell, I think, you know, Goff should be protected, and he's an NFL quarterback.
But they went big guys with their first three picks.
Oh, yeah. It's all D-line, O-line.
Yeah.
See, that's why I like Hawkinson. I think I'm going to like Swift. Someone's going to catch the ball there. They're going to be losing a ton. St. Brown might be their leading receiver. He could be, I guess. I mean, that doesn't mean I'm using a 10th-round pick in fantasy on him. But.
The Packers. Amari Rodgers in the third round. That's interesting.
In a very Randall Cobb-like way.
Yeah. I mean,
he's different than what they have.
Yeah.
And he's a good NFL-made
And there's
guy.
Some – there might be some a pathway to playing time there.
Absolutely.
But is Aaron Rodgers going to play?
I would say I want Rodgers throwing to Rodgers, not Love throwing to Rodgers.
Yeah.
Or I'm out.
Yeah.
And by the way, if Love's the quarterback there, Devontae Adams is in the first-round pick.
Kills him, yeah.
Aaron Jones goes down the list, you know.
Yeah, that's one to keep an eye on there, especially for fantasy purposes.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams, Tutu Atwell at 57.
He's a perfect example of, I'd rather Rondell Moore.
Yeah.
I mean, they got guys. I mean, they took Jefferson last year. I mean, I understand they love space players, and I'm sure they'll scheme up ways for him, and Stafford will probably hit him deep a couple times, but he's probably their fourth receiver.
Yeah, I don't see, I mean, but they didn't have a pick until after the Steelers pick in the second round.
Right.
Still.
Right.
So. The Minnesota Vikings, Kellen Mond in the third round.
Nope.
There's no value there. Then you go down all the way to
I can't think anybody that
Ngwanwu, the kid out of
I don't
of,
know if he's
Iowa
number
State.
Two there.
Yeah, I don't know if he makes it there. So yeah, really nothing of note. Although they did take Amir Smith Marset in the fifth round.
Did they?
He's got
they
some.
They need a third receiver bad.
He's got some hops. He can run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a path there at least.
Yeah.
That'll
be one to keep an eye on in the preseason. The Saints really didn't do anything to help their offense. They took Ian Book in the fourth round. He's not fantasy relevant.
Strange pick too.
Kawan Baker.
No.
It's all, you know, they had a first round pick.
I guess that's good for Traquan Smith.
Traquan Smith's a winner.
And,
yeah.
You know.
The Giants, Kadarius Toney.
He's not for me either. I mean, he's a lot different than what they had. Is he going to catch more balls than Shepard? Like, I think Slayton really got hurt.
Here's the problem is Shepard can't stay on the field.
I know. That's the problem.
And they didn't bring back Golden Tate, right?
No, but they signed Golladay.
True.
You know.
But, they, you know, who's playing the slot?
Shepard when healthy.
Healthy.
But he can also play outside.
I think they'll find ways to get Kadarius Toney the football.
I think they will, too. But he's a little gimmicky.
But I don't know that it's going to be enough to be fantasy relevant.
I mean, this is a big if, but if Saquon and Engram stay healthy, they're going to catch 150 balls between them.
Yeah.
Galladay's going to catch another 75. Ain't much left after that, you know?
There's not, no. Okay, the Philadelphia Eagles with Devontae Smith, however.
I have mixed feelings on this one. Like,
he's got a rapport with the quarterback.
Is he going to be their number one right off the bat? He could be.
He's got a rapport with the quarterback.
He has a rapport with the quarterback. He's a route runner. He's the type of guy that translates quickly to the NFL.
How much are they going to throw is the question.
Is he Justin Jefferson this year?
See, I don't know if they're going to throw the ball. I don't know that I trust the quarterback to make that kind of
They'll
jump.
Be a run-heavy team.
Yeah. Because they also drafted Kenneth Gainwell in the fifth round, who's more of a receiving back.
Him on the back of my roster at the very
end. Yeah, if you're going to, you know, if you take
Sanders
who's
– Right. Hurts will be gone. I think Rager's, it's too early to, you know, flush him. But Smith, I mean, who do you think is going to be the Eagles' leading receiver? Goddard? Devontae? I think it'll probably be Devontae.
I think Devontae's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's wide receiver three in fantasy.
I'd have to go back and look at how Hurts distributed things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Wentz was still there, I'd say, well, Goddard's probably going to be the leading receiver. But I don't know.
Yeah. don't know if that offense would be good or bad. I don't think the quarterback's very good.
I'm not a fan.
All right. I think the line will be good.
Yeah. San Francisco takes Trey Lance. I don't think he's fantasy relevant this year.
No.
I'd rather have, if I'm picking, okay, give me which of the, you know, give me two or three of the picks of the rookie quarterbacks. He might be last to play on my list.
Like you'd take Wilson over him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take Wilson over him.
You take Mac Jones over him?
I think Mac Jones plays earlier than he does.
I do too.
Yeah. And I know Fields does.
I think they try to win it with Jimmy.
I know Lawrence does. I know Fields does.
Mm-hmm. I also think there's an outside chance Jimmy's not on the team.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
And if that happens, that changes the equation. But I don't know that they're ready to just say, here you go, Trey. You've played one game in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're our starter. With a lineup that was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
I know. I mean, Jimmy's the better player right now, without question. But what's weird about Lance and what's weird about that pick, too, is the best thing for this guy to play one game in 3 years?
Well, he's going to get the preseason.
Yeah, well, heavy.
Heavy in the preseason. Yeah. So if he looks really good in the preseason, he could win that job.
He could.
Or
the first time they lose. But still. When he's right and he's in the game, if he looks good in the preseason and wins it, him versus Fields for me is a tough call.
That's a tough call.
Because they run, and he's a very, very good runner and a good offense.
But the 49ers have also shown us that if they're running the ball effectively, they'll just keep running it.
Oh, yeah.
And it might not be – they're not going to do it with the quarterback. They also drafted Trey Sermon.
Didn't they draft another back, too?
They drafted Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell.
And they signed someone right before the draft, and I can't remember who that is off the top of my head. Like – That backfield is all over the place.
I just stay away from it.
I know.
I'm done playing with it. It's like the Patriots backfield used to be. Try to guess who the lead back's going to be this week.
I know.
Can't do it.
I was listening to a podcast that their favorite bet was Trey Sermon for Rookie of the Year because it's a super long shot. It's way worse than it's like 50-1 or something.
I still wouldn't trust it because he could have a 150-yard game, and then the next week he come out and Elijah Mitchell's running the ball, or Raheem Mostert's running the ball. Who knows?
My only point is, if he does grab it, if he goes two games in a row, three games in a row, wow, that'd be great. That's probably not going to happen. Mostert's not going away. They like Jeff Wilson. You know what I mean? Like, there was a problem before they brought three new guys in.
The Seahawks bring in Dwayne Eskridge. That's an interesting one.
I like that better than Rondell Moore or Atwell.
That's a good spot to land.
Yeah, because I think he'll be in the field a lot. I think you'll see a lot of three wides, a lot of single coverage. Maybe. I mean, for the small guys that aren't going to be super high volume.
Worth a late-round flyer on him. Mm-hmm. Especially, let's say something happens to one of the top two guys there.
Especially Lockett, because he'll be the Lockett role.
Right.
You know, right.
Tampa Bay took Kyle Trask in the second round.
Of course he's not playing.
He's not going to play this year.
That's it, right?
They did take Jalen Darden in the fourth round, but it's the same thing. He's blocked. Yeah,
he's super blocked. They signed AB.
I don't know if he makes a roster this year.
Right. Johnson's a good player they drafted last year. I mean, he's a sixth receiver.
Yeah. Washington. Dyami Brown in the third round.
Maybe.
There's a pathway to play there.
Yeah, there is. He's a lot different than Samuel. You know, he could even be the number two opposite McLaurin at times, you know.
They also took John Bates, the tight end out of BYU. Or not BYU, Boise State.
A little earlier than I thought, though, so maybe he plays more than I expected. But that offense isn't bad.
No, it's not.
Away from Washington.
It's not. That was the NFC. Where are the AFC drafts here?
Baltimore's going to be first.
Yeah, okay, so I'm on it here.
Okay.
Okay, so Baltimore.
I would have liked it if he went somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because they also drafted another receiver who's pretty good in Wallace.
Rashad Bateman, love the player, hate the landing spot.
I'd be
same with Tylan
Ravens
Wallace.
Fan, but I don't know that I can invest in those guys for fantasy.
I mean, what's his ceiling? 50 catches?
Probably.
That's just not enough to be fantasy relevant. I mean,
I think he's got a good chance to be the Ravens' leading receiver.
Oh, I agree. But he's not going to catch 80 passes.
No.
It's just not going to happen.
They didn't take a back or tight end.
They did not. Buffalo.
They took all big.
They took Marquez Stevenson in the sixth round. That doesn't.
Nah.
That doesn't make it. Cincinnati with Jamar Chase. That's an interesting one.
I'll be pretty high on him. I mean,
what round do you pull the trigger?
That's what I say. I don't know. There's so many receivers in the league. Would you take him over Claypool? Keep it close to home. Take him over Jarvis Landry.
Yes and yes.
Me too.
Because I think, again, the rapport with the quarterback goes a long way.
Take him over T. Higgins?
Yes.
Me too. And I think it hurts Higgins.
I think it hurts Higgins bad. Yeah.
It hurts Boyd. I mean, it helps the Bengals.
Right.
It helps Burrow a lot. I mean, I'll gladly have Burrow as my quarterback.
Like, think of all those targets that A.J. Green was getting last year, peppered with them.
That were
eight a game
almost useless,
and
too. Right.
They weren't coming up with any catches. I think they'll
Highly
come up with those catches
targets,
this year.
Right. No, he can be on my fantasy team. And
he's,
I think he's
probably
a
top 20 guy.
At the bottom of that, but yeah. I mean, I'm not taking him over DJ Moore and Ridley.
Some established guys, yeah.
Yeah, like I'll take CeeDee Lamb over him from last year. Take him ahead of Judy.
Who's the quarterback?
Right, right. But in that neighborhood, if you compare him to the young guys, he's going to be high in the conversation.
No, I agree. They also grabbed Chris Evans.
I kind of like that.
That's a nice backup for Joe Mixon there.
Right.
That,
Mixon's not super reliable.
He's been nicked. So
I know they've drafted some other backs, but Gio's gone. Evans was kind of a favorite of mine. Keep him on the watch list.
The Browns took Anthony Schwartz in the third round.
That had nothing to do with him.
He
may get two targets a game.
Talk about him. They talked about him. Oh, he's a really fast guy.
He is.
I'm looking here on the Roto World, and their comp on Anthony Schwartz is Philip Dorsett.
That's a great comp.
That's not a good comp, though. If you're
bad for fantasy,
yeah.
Good to, if you're a play action throw deep team, and he converts a couple times a year, keeps defenses honest, but that's bad for fantasy.
But he averaged 11 yards a catch last year.
Yeah,
like, it's
that
just,
was probably my least favorite pick they made.
Yeah,
I thought they had a good draft, but that's not for me.
Denver takes Javonte Williams in the second round. They traded up to get him.
They have a good line. They play a lot of close games.
They've got Melvin Gordon.
I know.
That's if it were just him, if he had a clear path to be the guy.
I don't think Lindsay's there anymore.
He's not, no.
I can't think of anyone else that's really.
So are they going to split carries with those two? If
I think he'll go past Gordon by midseason. Probably not first month or so, though.
So where do you draft him? I mean, especially after last year, so many people drafted, including ourselves, rookie running backs.
Right, right, right.
Sat on them all year long.
And maybe
paid for it.
The end, but
you know, you had to make the playoffs for it to really pay off. And,
yeah.
You know.
And in the end, you didn't get there because you've been sitting on.
Because you were sitting on, you're wasting roster spots on these guys.
But for the 34th pick in the draft, he's going to go late as running backs go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For fantasy.
I'd take him as my number three with some upside.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I got two more safer guys.
Kind of reminds me of Dobbins a year ago.
Yeah, could be a home run.
Was there.
Yeah. Because they'll run the football.
They'll run the football.
Yeah.
I think they'll play a lot of close games. It could win me a league, too.
Yeah.
Gordon's not a young man. What if he gets hurt?
Houston takes Davis Mills.
He could be their starter for half the season, by the way. I mean, you might as well see what you have in the guy.
Might as well, because they're not winning any games.
I don't think Watson's going to play another game in Texans.
But he's not a runner, so you're not getting anything there.
No.
They also took Nico Collins.
That one's
in the
kind
third
of exciting.
Round. Yeah.
Because he's very different than Cooks. I bet he starts.
Yeah. And Brevin Jordan.
Huh. They haven't had a tight end forever.
They've had a bunch of them, but never a guy to fall by, you know.
Collins and Jordan aren't the worst picks I've ever heard.
They're worth late rounds.
Because
somebody, it goes back to the theory, somebody has to catch football.
I'm just thinking the organizational philosophy is going to play young guys, let's develop, you know, they know they're not winning anything.
The Colts took nobody of value. Colin Granson in the fourth round, no. Yeah. Michael, my sleeper wide receiver, Michael Strahan, out of Charleston in the seventh round. Big guy that can run.
Mm-hmm. It would take a lot for him to
But he's
action,
not getting on the field
this
year.
Right.
That's more
the
of
receivers
a
aren't great.
Yeah, more of a developmental thing. Jacksonville, this is interesting. Lawrence, where does Lawrence factor in as a rookie quarterback?
How about Lawrence versus Burrow?
I'd take Burrow.
I'll take Burrow.
Better surrounding cast.
I'll take him over Tua.
Yes.
I'd take Hurts over all of them.
I think he's probably 15-ish.
Yeah. It's about where Burrow was last year, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he'll run, but he won't run like Fields or Lance.
No, nothing like that, yeah.
I mean, he'll be an asset as a runner. I know he's a superstar prospect, but you can't take him like over Dak Prescott.
No, that's
you
silly.
You know what I mean? Right, yeah.
What about
him or Matt Ryan?
Ooh.
Total opposites, but I bet Ryan throws a million passes this year.
Yeah, Ryan's going to throw like crazy, and he's got the big receivers.
Right.
I think I'd take Ryan.
Ryan's one of my guys I'd like to have this year.
Yeah. Travis Etienne.
I'm taking him ahead of Robinson.
Yes, absolutely.
I bet I'm not paying the price that ATN ends up going.
He probably ends up being
third-round pick.
A top 15 back when it's all said and done.
I mean, first-round runner, like, where did Clyde Edwards-Helaire go last year? Really high.
Went in the top five in a lot of drafts, yeah.
I mean, I bet ATN ends up in the second round when it comes down to it.
Yeah, at
probably
worst.
Not with me.
Yeah.
He's a good receiver, but he's not an elite receiver.
Yeah.
And Robinson,
he is working with his college quarterback, though. So there's again, that rapport thing.
Is he going to be the short yardage guy?
No. Yeah.
Williams and Harris.
What's his upside? If I said Travis Etienne, total yards, over under 1,300.
Under.
Go under that.
I'll go under that.
Yeah.
I think he'll catch a 60% snap guy.
I think he'll catch a lot of passes.
Yeah. But he's not a real developed route runner.
Right, but I think they'll find ways to get him the football in space to try to make some things happen.
But they'll do that with Chenault and, you know.
But I think he's a 15-touch-a-game guy.
I might go slightly under.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a nice addition to the team and makes Lawrence's life easier. I just think in the end, there's a lot of backs I'd take ahead of him. Like, I'll take Miles Sanders ahead of him or even Montgomery.
We're not finding a lot of slam dunk.
No, but a lot of things will change.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of guys I'm super excited about for fantasy.
Kansas City really has nobody.
No. Although I'm buying Edwards-Helaire low right now.
Yeah.
The line changes they made, and Damian Williams is not there. You know, I think people will be soured on him. I'll take him this year at his cost.
The Raiders, there's really nobody there.
No.
No. The Chargers took Josh Palmer in the third round.
Way down the list. I mean, I like the player. I like the pick.
They took Trey McKitty in the third round.
They lost Hunter Henry, but they still have that. They have Parham.
The basketball player.
Yeah. 6'8 guy that they supposedly really like.
So don't run out and get that.
No.
They did add another running back late in Larry Roundtree, but that's
a
crowded backfield.
I guess you could fight Kelly and those guys. Eckler's the guy I love this year.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The Saints offensive coordinator coming over. Yeah.
Miami with Jaylen Waddle. What do you do with that? Because Tua is not a guy that throws a football down the field.
No, and I think he'll be overdrafted in fantasy.
Yeah.
I love the football player. I mean, they have Fuller as the deep guy, too.
Yeah.
And Parker's established. Gesicki's not going away. I don't see it being a high-volume passing attack.
I don't either.
I mean, this isn't what you asked me, but all of a sudden, Miles Gaskin's super exciting. Like, they did nothing.
A little
there.
Bit. Well, right. they got Garrett Doakes there, who's different from those guys.
Yeah.
He's Gaskin's a bigger
really
back.
Put up numbers when he was allowed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
can he hold up, though? That's the question.
I don't know.
That's the question.
But
they also drafted Hunter Long.
Not bad.
You got Gesicki there already.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go crazy on Hunter Long. That's not a good landing spot for him.
No. And rookie tight ends are a bad investment. But
yeah.
He has. It's similar to the Steelers situation where the rookie's the more well-rounded player.
Yeah, I agree. Mac Jones.
Well, I'm not going to take Waddle.
No, I'd let somebody else do that.
Right.
The Patriots with Mac Jones. I think he's the starter there, maybe not right out of the gate.
Early.
But early.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem.
I think he'll start out of the gate.
His offense, what you're going to have to do with Mac Jones is going to be completely different than what you have to do
with Newton.
Newton.
I would think it's more of the Jones passing game than the Newton passing game. Right.
Here's the problem with that. Yes, they signed a couple receivers in free agency. They didn't bring anybody else. They didn't do anything to help the offense at all.
I would much rather have Cam Newton as my quarterback for fantasy than Mac Jones.
Yes.
It's not even close.
Yeah, if Mac Jones is the starting – like, I don't want him – obviously, you want him over Trey Lance if Trey Lance is not playing –
right.
But the other guys, I'm taking all them before I'm taking Mac Jones.
There's going to be no running.
Nope, yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't think he would hurt Henry or Smith if you're interested in those guys or the backs. But he's not going to be a fantasy producer. He's going to have to complete 40 passes a game.
Yeah, I agree. Zach Wilson, where does he fit into the quarterback equation?
Lower than the others, although I know he's a day one starter. Playing time's great. I still want Lance and Fields ahead of him.
They did
get him away with it.
They did get him some weapons.
They
drafted Elijah Moore in the second round. I really like that
him.
Pick. Yeah.
I bet they cut Crowder in the next day or two.
Yeah.
They saved like $8 million by cutting Crowder. Elijah Moore might be their leading receiver this year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
right.
You think about the way Crowder has – I don't know if they cut Crowder because you can find ways to use him. And he's been valuable.
He's not a bad player.
No.
I just think I'd rather have $8 million than Crowder.
But if you give Moore Crowder's targets –
yeah.
all of a sudden, that looks pretty good.
I think he gets outside targets, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they have Mims, who's kind of exciting and probably got hurt a little bit by that pickup, and Davis. But they have a decent group of receivers. I don't know why I can't get super excited about Wilson for fantasy. Because he'll run a little. He's going to start probably 17 games, you know. I don't know. I think he's going to have some rookie.
There'll be some growing pains.
I think he's a long way from home.
They drafted Michael Carter. That's a good landing spot for him.
They drafted two Michael Carters.
They drafted two of them. They drafted one that was fantasy relevant, though.
Yeah. I think it's a great landing spot for him.
He could end up being the guy. Yeah.
I mean,
if you want to pick out, if you want to pick out the guy, the rookie running back who could be the quote unquote sleeper.
That's a great one.
It's him. There's not much ahead of him.
None of their backs will catch more passes than him.
Yeah.
He has to be the third down back almost from day one, which has value in itself. And he's probably their most talented back.
Yeah.
The O-line's not bad. No, I like him.
Yeah, so that's one. And when that happens this year, people say, see, you can get him back in the fifth round. Or you got him in the fourth round. The Steelers could have done that.
Steelers don't with Carter, though. I mean, they're going to ask him to do much different things in the real world.
Absolutely. The Steelers with Najee Harris. Where's Najee Harris fall into the equation?
I think when it's all said and done.
I think he's a top 10 fantasy back this year.
I was going to say, I think he's a top 15 pick.
Yeah.
I think he goes in the second, the top half of round two.
At the latest.
Yeah, I mean, like around the corner, around the bend neighborhood, you know.
Because I think they're going to give him the ball a little bit in the preseason to get an extra game.
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna see some carries. He's going to break some tackles.
There's no smoke screens. I mean, everyone in the world knows. It's just you take him over Mixon or Miles Sanders or Eckler or last year's guys.
You take him over Derrick Henry?
No.
He's going to catch the football.
Henry leads the league in rushing every year.
Is he going to do it again this year? Because history shows us that doesn't happen.
Henry's probably not for
take
me.
Take him over Zeke Elliott?
That's a good one. Elliott's hard to count on. I mean, you taking him over the backs last year? I'll take Akers over him. I'll take him ahead of Swift.
I won't take Akers over him because I don't know that Akers is going to be the guy.
Oh, I think he will.
The way they messed around with it last year, it's just, ugh.
I think the offense will be better and he'll be the guy. I'll take Taylor.
If you can guarantee me that Akers is the guy, okay. But
I
don't know that you can do that because they've got, Malcolm Brown. Well, he's not there anymore. But
I know Harris is the guy.
Yeah.
No, he's going to go early. There's no question.
What about Freiermuth?
Not fantasy worthy.
Yeah.
How many passes do you think he catches this year?
I think if he catches 35, that's a good year.
Yeah. I mean, it's not great for fantasy, but that's
not good,
good
enough for fantasy, I think he eats into Ebron's numbers.
I say Ebron suffers a little bit.
I think the two of them combined for 60 to 70 catches.
Yeah, I'd say 75.
Yeah. And then the rest of them aren't really fantasy relevant there. The Titans really didn't do anything there. They took Des Fitzpatrick in the fourth round. That doesn't really
super
move.
Sleeper, I guess, because, I mean, there is a path there.
And Racy McMath. In the sixth round.
I wonder if they try to find a veteran.
That could be a good something that they yet. Do, yeah.
They didn't do anything else, though, huh? They didn't take a back or a tight end.
They took Farley, Raddins, Monty Rice, Elijah Molden. They went defense.
Their defense should be a lot better.
Yeah, but that doesn't help you in fantasy.
Sleeper fantasy defense.
We're not quite there yet.
Yeah, right. Yeah. A little early for that.
But that's the league in a whole. There wasn't a lot of rookies that were, like, despite.
Last year was better.
It was a heavy offensive draft in the first round.
Massively.
And yet, it was a lot of big guys,
mm-hmm.
a lot of offensive linemen, of course, who aren't fantasy relevant.
I meant little guys in terms of receivers are all little.
Yeah. You know? The quarterbacks are interesting.
Yeah, very.
I think the first round running back, the first three running backs are interesting, and Michael Carter is a kind of a sleeper there.
But Harris stands alone as first rookie off the board.
Yeah.
Chase is second, maybe?
I would.
ATN probably goes ahead of him just because he's back.
Yeah.
But Chase is a quality one. But the next couple of receivers aren't super exciting to me.
They didn't land in great spots. So
Pitts is exciting.
Devontae Smith could be interesting.
Yeah,
you know,
Pitts
if
is definitely exciting.
If he emerges as a true number one. Yeah, Pitts is, again, a top five tight end, I believe.
In that neighborhood. Yeah.
But it's a tight end.
But usually you get a much more of a rookie infusion of early redraft picks.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'm banking on that.
Yeah, not this year. But interesting.
Yeah, first time we talked about that. I'm sure our opinions will change, too. But when it's all said and done, Harris might go eighth overall.
He's a good he should be a front runner for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen the odds, and they're not super in his favor, which shocks me.
Which is crazy.
I understand Lawrence should be one, but
right.
You know, after that, I mean, I'll take him against.
Yeah, people talked about that with Burrow last year. Burrow's an easy slam dunk. Well, quarterbacks do get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's worth throwing a shekel or two down on.
Yeah, right. No, I think Harris has a real chance.
Yeah. That's going to do it for this segment of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site, keeping us on the air, as he always does, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.